You may be seated. We could just have the lights up a little bit more, thank you. I like to see your faces because we're family. And how good was that, hearing all about what we as a church have done, because people matter. And that's where I want to start today. I want to talk about what underpins everything that we do as a church, but also it needs to underpin how we live our lives, because people matter. All people matter. In the fullness and busyness of our lives, it is easy to forget that people matter, because we matter too. And we're focused on everything we've got to do, our homes, our jobs, our family. And it's so easy sometimes for all our plans and activities and things to bring us to a place where we're focused on our world, on ourselves. But people matter. And all people want hope. All people crave for hope. And the world is currently not offering much hope. There's stuff going on in people's lives all around us, and we don't even know what's going on, because they just look the same as us, and they're busy doing their thing and we're busy doing our thing. And you know, this morning I want us to think about all those things that we just talked about are all about how the church is living, how the church is doing its job in town, around the world. But I want us to focus today about, what about me? How am I living in a way that is bringing hope? How am I living in a way that really does remember that people matter? So I read this story this week. I'm just going to read it out. Now, it's talking about a woman who had depression during the pandemic. 22-year-old university student. She had her issues. Her name was Lacey. Brooke Lacey, sorry. After Lacey won her battle against depression, in the hope of helping others, this young woman was in New Zealand, was inspired to create a batch of 600 signs that read this: "Please don't take your life today. The world is so much better with you in it, more than you realise. Stay." So she printed 600 of them, laminated them, and she hung them on bridges, overpasses, next to railroads and waterways around the capital city of Wellington. She even had the saying inscribed on a bumper sticker. But the sentiment was furthest thing from her mind when, sometime later, she found a piece of very unusual correspondence on the windshield of her car, which she had parked in the university parking lot. Figuring she was in for a scolding over poor parking technique, Lacey was instead stunned to find a handwritten note under the wiper blade that thanked her for saving the writer's life. The note read, "I left my house with a plan today, but I asked for a sign, any sign. I was doing the right thing when I saw your car in the parking lot. Thank you." So they were looking for hope, and they found it in the most surprising and unexpected way, on an old bumper sticker left on a car. It took a moment for Lacey's mind to circle back as to what this note was referring to, and then she remembered that she'd put this bumper sticker on a car. And she tweeted, "I had these made so long ago, put one on my car and forgot about it. Until now, I am so glad, whoever you are, chose to stay today. You never know who needs the reminder, and it's something we should all bear in mind. While the universe may be a random place for someone in trouble, even the smallest mindful act of kindness can turn out to be the light at the end of someone's tunnel. Now, that putting signs up everywhere and putting bumper sticker on your car, that might seem like a radical and surprising thing to do. But the point of it is that even in her own condition of depression, she realised that other people mattered too. She cared about others even in her own state. You know, Jesus intentionally lived in a way that surprised people all the time. You could say he lived an intentionally questionable life. And there's a little play on word there, but someone asked me this week, what's this sermon series we've been doing about? And I said it's about living a questionable life, a surprising life, a life that someone goes, why you do that? Why do you live this way? Why do you think that? How often did people ask Jesus or question him about why are you hanging out with those people? Why are you acting like this? Why aren't you like everyone else? He mixed with all sorts of people. He stopped at homes that no one was happy about him stopping at. He was going slowly and intentionally through his life to not miss any opportunity to offer hope for someone. So many stories of encounters with individuals that he had in his daily life. Yes, there was crowds where he was preaching, but there are so many incidents in the gospel where he was one-on-one, where he noticed someone, where he did something which drew someone's attention. Hang on, is he looking at me? Does he care about me? Is he talking to me? And they stop. He stops. They stop. And that's all it takes to offer someone hope. At Women's Conference, the women heard about one of my currently favourite stories in the book of John, where Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman at the well. It's a surprising story in so many ways. Jesus was going from one town to another, but he intentionally diverted to make sure he went to Jacob's well near Sychar in Samaria, a place no one else was likely to divert to. In fact, most Jews would deliberately avoid. He stopped there intentionally and waited, and he sat there resting. The disciples went off to get food. But a woman came along, someone that everyone else avoids, someone who'd had five husbands and currently was with someone else. She went there, and there was Jesus waiting patiently for her. He went to where she was, her place, asked her for water, engaged her in conversation. He listened to her story. And his surprising act, his questionable act, meant that she stopped and asked him some questions. Why are you talking to me? Why are you even bothering with me? Nobody's bothered with me. He saw her not as someone hopeless, but as someone valuable. We are called to bring hope because people matter. She was surprised. Even the disciples came and questioned him. What were you doing talking to her? But Jesus' life was all about people, lost people, and he intentionally stopped and lived and slowed down and made decisions. I think we'll go this way. In John 20, verse 21, it says this. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So our series for the last month has been about an acronym, BLESS, to help us remember some habits for living a sent life. A sent life, like Jesus was sent, I am sending you. A sent life. And not a life that the church lives, but the life that we live as individuals. Why did God send Jesus? Because he knew that we have a lost, dying and broken world separated from him. And Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. In the same way, Jesus sends us to continue that same sent life, bringing hope and reconciliation. So over the last few weeks, we looked at these letters, BLESS. B, begin with prayer. Could it be that we could spend some time in prayer each day and ask God, Lord, send me some people that I can befriend today? Could it be that we have a habit of saying, God, I want to see these two people come to know you, and we pray? Could it be that we have a habit each day of asking God to open doors of opportunity for us, open our ears and our eyes and our mouth, praying for the ones that we meet? And it could be that he will surprise you with someone you weren't expecting to connect with. And then we had the letter L, which was listen. We will experience direction and encouragement if we listen to the Holy Spirit. But also we need to listen to people. Jesus heard cries, and sometimes cries are loud, and sometimes they're really quiet. We have people around us who are crying, and we need to listen. Our habit is to maybe just stop and listen to that person at the hairdresser, or that person at the shopping centre, or that neighbour over the fence, or that workmate at morning tea. We can listen. So thinking of these letters, B, beginning with prayer, L, listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit and listen for people that would want to engage with us in our world. Then we had Pastor Dave talking about eat, and it's all about hospitality. Eat with others and offer hospitality, intentionally sitting with them. Maybe sit with someone different at morning tea this week, not the buddy that you always sit with. Maybe is there someone else that you could just befriend at morning tea? Someone you could invite to your home? Someone that you could invite out? It's a habit, finding someone to share hospitality with, a habit we can all engage in. And then there was S for serve, adding your strength to others. We can serve them in the words that we say, in our practical acts. We took the whole church yesterday out serving the community. But we can do that as individuals. Is there somebody that you're near at work that you could see that they are struggling and offer some help? Or encourage them with kind words? Or encourage them with a Mars bar in their pigeonhole? Yeah. Intentional generosity. Genuine motive of care. Let's be attentive to our neighbours' needs, our friends, attentive of their fears and hopes, and extend an arm of care toward them and serve them. So the last of our intentional habits is of living sent is share. But first of all, I just wanted to talk about somebody yesterday who did serve in an amazing way. And we were out at the, we were part of the team at the animal shelter, and you saw the pictures of how wildly overgrown it was. And we didn't really have a plan, except we knew how we needed to get there, and we didn't know how we were going to get there, but everyone just stood there and went, right, okay, you there, you there, you there. But somebody needed to go over a fence into an area about the same area as this that was so wildly overgrown. And we sent, who is willing to be sent over the barbed wire into there? Literally, barbed wire. And even the animal shelter boss lady came out afterwards and said, well, who went in there and how did they get in there? So when I said, who wants to go in there? Jacob Goodlett said, I'll go. Send me. So we put the ladder up. Jacob climbed over the ladder and landed in there. And I said, look, mate, please be careful of the snakes. Because the grass was seriously and had been untouched for such a long time. But he was willing to be sent. Anyway, he went in and I said, be careful of the snakes. Anyway, I was some distance away and I heard him say, there's another one. And I went, another snake? With a big grin on his face, he says, yeah, it was a Western Brown. And he goes, no, it was actually another wheelie walker. So far he'd found a wheelchair, two wheelie walkers and a full exhaust system from a car, all in the grass that was about the size of this. So I just wanted to acknowledge Jacob for being willing to be sent over the fence yesterday. Bless him greatly. The staff there will not believe with the state of that little patch of ground that he pretty much single-handedly tackled yesterday. So I say that because living sent opens doors, okay? So literally the lady talking at the end sort of said, it's automatic, that question's going to come. Why do you do that? Did someone really go over that fence? Why did he do that? Because he wanted to bless you. That's it. She asked the question straight away. Someone really went over there? How did they get in there? Why did they do that? That's amazing. You see, living a sent life, living a questionable life, leads to opening the door for the message, earning the right to speak. So our last S today is share. We are called to share the message. It's great to build the bridges and serve people and care for people. But we are also called to share the message because when the question comes, we know we have the answer. We have the answer. But at this point, many people get a little bit wobbly at the knees. I'm okay with serving. I'm okay with inviting them for a meal. But don't ask me to share the gospel. I'm not an evangelist. No. We're not asking anyone. I'm not an evangelist. Many of us would say, don't ever ask me to stand up and speak publicly. But there is a way we can share about Jesus. And this is what I want to share this morning. We do become weak at the knees because we have often experienced somebody obnoxious sharing the gospel, which causes pain, and we go, oh, I don't want to put my friends off. I don't want to lose any friends. But, you know, all of this living sent means that we are building relationships with people, and there is no way that you're going to lose a friend simply by sharing your story because you have now earned the right for them to go, why do you live like that? And the answer is because of what Jesus has done for me. Yeah. We can't rely entirely on church events. Jesus said, I send you. So these are the things that we can share. We can share our world. Let people come into our world. Let's not leave our Christianity, our beliefs, our heart for people closed up and separated from the life that we live daily. Let people into that world. We don't have to hit them with it, but let them into your worlds. Let them into your space. Create space for them to check it out. So you went to the animal shelter and you climbed a fence and you dug out a whole pile of grass. What was that for? Because we care and people matter. Because Jesus loves people. So you can share your time and your talents, but let people into your world. Let's not live isolated lives. Let's talk to that neighbour over the fence. We can share our story. God doesn't ask us to share what we don't know or beyond our growth. And the reality is that in John chapter 4, verse 39 to 42, after that encounter with the Samaritan woman, with Jesus, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. She didn't know anything about preaching the gospel. She just said, come meet a man who's told everything about me. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves. We no longer believe just because of what you said. So what she said was just enough. They knew her. They knew all about her. And she was sharing her story. And they came. We now know that this man is really the saviour of the world. They were able to come because of her to meet him for themselves. So tell your story like it points to Jesus. Tell the truth of what it's like to be his friend. Tell the truth of what it's like to be a child of the Heavenly Father. If God found you and restored you, can't he do the same for them? Listen to their story and find that common link. You know, without fail, there is an opportunity when you're open about what your life is like, the things that have gone wrong, the things, the pains that you've experienced, the things that you need forgiveness for. That's the thing that's going to connect with that person. So you're not perfect. No. And God didn't reject you. No. God embraced me when I was a teenager, and I thought that you had to be perfect to come to God. And friends helped me understand that God accepted me just the way I am, just the way I am. And you see, whatever it is that brought you to the gospel, that's your story. And God's not silly. He'll bring across your path someone who can connect exactly with where you're at, with what you've been through. If you've suffered rejection, if you've suffered from a life that has gone completely off the rails and God has brought you back. Or maybe your life is that God has protected you and shown you love from a child. Whatever your story is, God will find a way to bring across your path the people where you can share your story. But if we keep it to ourselves, they miss out. So we can share our story. We share our world, we share our story, but we can also share Jesus. Who's your favourite person in the world other than Jesus?
Adrian Bonham, operations manager.
There you go, there you go. See, he can tell me straight away. What about, what is it, Buddy Franklin? I don't know. Jim will tell you, I'm probably going to shout out Darren Lockyer. Go the Rachel Frierson, that's it. Max Verstappen, someone might say that. Martin Luther King, Kathy Freeman. And if I came up to you and said, why are they your hero? What do you know about them? Tell me about them. You're going to be able to tell me all sorts of things about them. Let's have a relationship with Jesus. When someone says, why have you have a relationship with Jesus? What do you know about him? Just think of it in the same way. We're not offering a religion. We're not asking anyone to come and repent on the spot. Just share Jesus like he's your friend. Yeah? Get to know him in a way that when someone asks you about him, your face lights up and you go, oh, I can tell you about him. Yeah? A friend in Perth who, working at the same place, went on and on. It was a Churches of Christ aged care place. She went on and on about the church and the missionaries and how they'd done so many things wrong. And it was a lot of what she was saying was true, and I couldn't defend it. And then I realised, why am I even trying to defend this stuff? Let's talk about Jesus. Yeah. Conversation went from 0 to 60, just like that. Let's talk about Jesus. He didn't do all of those things that you're... He loved people. I just talked about him. And suddenly we were on a whole different level of conversation. I wasn't trying to fight against any doctrine that she thought was wrong or any church activity or colonial thing that had happened. We just talked about him. He didn't do anything that anyone can argue about or complain about. Let's share Jesus. And lastly, we can share the word. Here's a habit that's a good one. Memorize at least one scripture. So that when you get to the point where you're thinking, hang on, this person is actually interested. Just have that. At least one scripture you can pull out of your pocket, out of your head that the Holy Spirit can use. Could it be Romans 10:13, which is, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes. Now, I can't always remember the chapter and first verse, but I can say, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Or I might say Romans 5:8, which, but God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Stick it on a piece of paper and put it in your handbag. Put it on your phone. Memorize it so that we've got something to share. So how do we get people to experience what we've experienced? We live these habits of a sent life. Pray. Listen. Eat, which is your hospitality. Serve people and be ready to share. Because if you live a life, a questionable life, they are going to ask you. They are going to say, well, you're a bit different. You're a bit strange. What's going on? Jesus was sent in this world to declare the kingdom of God and show us God's love. He lived a sent life, and in the same way Jesus was sent, so are we, each of us, individually, not just the church, us, because people matter. Our job is to live a life that will open the door for the message, and it may be that they will come to church and receive that, or it may be that you're just sowing seeds and someone else reaps that harvest. Recently we had friends that wanted to come and stay. They actually were just acquaintances. I barely knew them. They wanted to come and stay. And my first reaction was, okay, I'm not sure I've got space or time for this. But they came. And all of these things that we were just talking about, the opportunity to show them hospitality, they wanted to go and visit, go out to places that I didn't have the energy for. But when they said, oh, will you come with us? I went, yes, I will. And by the end of the week, between hospitality, lots of conversations, them asking questions, they asked about why did Jim go to Vietnam, and I was able to tell them why he went to Vietnam to help with the mission. They asked all sorts of questions, but the best question was that Saturday night they said, can we come to church tomorrow? And I went, okay, yes. I was not expecting between Tuesday and Saturday for these people that we hardly knew to do that. Yeah. So God is good. If we live that sent life, if we extend that hospitality, we make room for people, let them into our worlds, we have the opportunity to open the door. Living a questionable life, living a sent life. And that is our challenge. So we've got that acronym to help remind us, B-L-E-S-S. Let's live these habits of a sent life. Maybe you could just close your eyes as we pray and commit this to the Lord. Father God, we know that people matter to you so much that you sent Jesus. And then you said, now I send you. Father, I just pray for us each as individuals today, that we will understand, Lord, that we have your heart, your message. It is part of our lives. We have a story. You have restored us. Lord, today I pray that, Lord, we would intentionally choose to live a sent life, that we would slow down, Lord, and notice people. We would slow down and take those opportunities when they come. Lord, that we would divert and think, maybe I could sit with someone different today than I usually do. That I would listen, that I would notice people. Lord, we each commit today to living a sent life, a questionable life, that people will come and say, why? Why are you different? Lord, I pray as a church. And Lord, I send them now in Jesus' name. Send us out to this town, to our family, to our friends, to our neighbours, to our workmates, to our school friends. Lord, let us be a sent people, intentionally living a life that will glorify you. Amen. Amen. We're just going to sing and then we're going to spend some time. Yeah. Challenged this morning to speak to us about our story. And I mentioned the word rejection. And for me, for different reasons, there is rejection which causes us in circumstances like in family, at school, that causes a damage that only Jesus can heal. But in order for me to be able to share my story of what Jesus was going to do, I need to let him minister to that need. And for you today, perhaps the reason that you find it difficult to share your story is that you haven't allowed Jesus to minister to that area, which could be the very area that he wants to use to meet other people's needs. Like that young lady who felt depressed but chose to offer hope to others. And when we let Jesus in, we can minister to others. So I just want to take this moment to pray and ask God. It could be rejection. It could be that you've just struggled with just acceptance of yourself, of who you are, the way God's made you. I don't know what that is today, but God, can use your story if you let him touch that area in your life to lead other people, to bring them to his hope. So let's just, if you want to respond this morning, you can. And I will, we'll make this altar open as we sing, and we will pray with you, or you can just commit your need to God. We'll also have people available after the service. And it also may be that today you've not met Jesus, and today he is here for you. Today is your day to come and meet him, the one who cares, the one who loves, the one who died for you. So let's come, if you would like to respond today to that need of your life where the Holy Spirit wants to come and minister to you. Whenever we come to you, you will respond. And Lord, I pray for those who need to come to you today, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that they will take that step where you will come and meet with them and they with you. So we just commit them to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.